Local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
It's the Monica J Show, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, live and local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. And I'm so glad that you are with me today. Log on to 991FMTalk.com. Some interesting responses on our, on our poll question brought to you by Nissan of Carson City. And that is, what news stories would you prefer to hear more about in the news? And I thought that was, you know, pretty simple, letting people put in their own answers. And so far, Fauci and COVID, nobody cares. Nobody voted, no interest in that whatsoever. 33%, though, so far, 33.33%, they want to hear more about Bobulinski and the Biden crime family. Let's see. 20% news, not fake or biased. That would be a good change. Twisted lies and misdoings of the DC swamp. Yeah, people want to know the truth. And the truth will always come out. Sometimes not with the best timing, but it will always come out. Don't watch the news, just the same old stuff, gets a 6% vote. And the truth, no more lies, 26%. So there you go. People are tired of being told what they're supposed to know, what others have deemed for them to know. You can't do that anymore if you're a news station. Whether you're local or mainstream, there are too many sources out there to actually come up with what's going on. We've got a special guest coming up, John Sarpolis, here in just a moment. So we're gonna leave the phone lines for him. But I have one thing that I want to share with you as we talk about what's going on with this whole thing with COVID, and just a little something from thousands of doctors out there. Thousands. This is from Armstrong Economics, not Armstrong and Getty, armstrongeconomics.com. And it's really important because there's so many doctors out there. People think Dr. Fauci is the end-all be-all, and he's not. But these doctors, as usual, being silenced.
Hello, I'm Elke de Klerk from the Netherlands, and I want to state that we do not have a medical pandemic or epidemic. We also state that COVID-19 should not be on list A for any longer, because we now know that it is a normal flu virus, and the normal flu virus isn't on list A. So we are also starting a lawsuit to the state of the Netherlands to bring this in with a large group of doctors and a really large group of nurses also, because we have contact with 87,000 nurses that do not want the vaccine that is being prepared for us. I want to state, if there is no pandemic, I am wondering why our kids are in schools with masks. There's absolute constitutional rights, and they cannot be infringed or inflicted for any medical reason. There's no reason for panic. Also in the medical practice, there's no reason for panic. The panic is created by these false positive PCR tests. 89% until 94% of those PCR tests are false positive. They don't test for the COVID-19, and also the rest is false negative. So we have to look at clinics. We have to start looking at clinic. Medical doctors have to stop looking at those tests. That's very important. Let's go back to the clinics and to the facts. We have in the Netherlands now the regular press publishing the news that the PCR test is not a correct test. So I'm very happy about that. So there's hope. Thank you.
Statistics have come out that up until April 2020, there was zero deaths in Ireland. These are the official statistics from the CSO, the Central Statistics Office. The first death was in April. And in the whole country in 2020, we have 98 deaths out of 5 million people. So in Ireland, 30,000 people die every year, 10,000 from cardiovascular disease, 10,000 from cancer. The 98 deaths in Ireland are preventable if they had been given prevention and treatment. And we see now that probably there will be thousands more deaths in Ireland just from cancer and cardiovascular disease alone. So in public health, if you are implementing a policy that is more harm than good, this should be stopped. And we as scientists and doctors are saying the lockdown is causing more harm than good. If the politicians, the regulators and the people that are writing these guidelines had the interests of the people of their country at heart, they would stop the lockdown, stop social distancing and masks and all quarantining and bring our country back to a better normal.
Those are tens of thousands of doctors confirming that this is a hoax, that this is no worse than the flu. And this goes on for another 3 minutes or so. ArmstrongEconomics.com. Or you can just search it. Don't Google DuckDuckGo or Bing or any, you know, non-tracking so you can actually get to where you want to go. Just search tens of thousands of doctors confirm that this is a hoax. If we don't open this country up, not only are we losing our freedoms, our rights, but we're losing people to other diseases as well because they can't get treatment because so many will say, well, you have to have this test. Well, I'm not going for the test. Well, then we're not going to let you come to the office. You have to wear a mask. I don't want to wear a mask. I can't wear a mask. Well, you have to wear a mask. So you can't come in for treatment if you don't wear your mask. These are politicians playing with your health. And for Candace, who seems to be all over the love of Fauci, Fauci is in this for money. He's got a financial stake in this. He has a financial stake in the companies that create and manufacture the vaccine. He's working with other people. He's working with Wuhan. Why is he backing the vaccine that costs thousands of dollars when we have prophylactic treatments? We have hydroxychloroquine. We have the treatment that costs like, what is it, $40 for everything altogether? If you're sick, go to the doctor, find out, get treated. This is ridiculous. And whatever Sisolak has to say at 3 o'clock, unless he is opening up this state with no restrictions, no mandates, get rid of these damn masks, then whatever he says doesn't matter because it's still just a lie. Let's go to the talk and text at 884-9910. Check in with Gene this morning. Gene wants to talk about Joe Biden. Hi, Gene. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Monica. I just wonder, you know, when they do those commercials, laser focus, do they actually expect people to be that stupid to believe that he could be local or laser focused? In my opinion, America. And the sign that is in before him, like the soul of America, what do they think we are? A bunch of, like they call us, a bunch of righteous, xenophobes, homophones, basket of the poor, and a bunch of thugs? Is that what they're saying? Is that what that sign means? Is that what he's saying?
I laugh every time they say
America to the death.
I laugh every time I see him late and they say laser focused and he's, you know, working on things. It's like, no, he's taking a nap. He is just the worst possible thing besides AOC and Bernie Sanders, who he's already chosen his cabinet, Ilhan Omar and all of these other socialists and Marxists that are going to be taking over everything. Gene, thank you so much for the call. We got to get on with John Sarpolis and with He is the president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute. We're going to take a quick break here and be right back with John after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Right now, there is only one radio station talking about what's going on in Northern Nevada, live and local, right now, 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
And there is so much going on, especially when it comes to voting. Just got a another text. Oh my gosh, I am just, I'm being taught a good lesson by Lorraine today, who is saying that still, Carson City Community Center, no wait, so head on down and vote. But I made the statement that if you are registered, then you can vote. But she said, no, you are wrong. Not true. If you are not registered, you can still vote with a provisional ballot. Thank you so much, Lorraine, for correcting me. I always want to make sure that I get out the best information. I thought it was that same day voting thing that was for just November 3rd. So what do we do? How do we know? You know, I encourage people to use the machines. With the paper ballot there going through and having the receipt, at least in Washoe County, I feel safer doing that. I don't want to put anything in a mailbox. I don't want to put anything in a box that is not guarded, because we've seen the stories about people, guys set one on fire a couple of nights ago. You know, you could drop some acid in there. You know, a different kind of drop an acid thing, but you know what I mean. It's not secure. Unless those people that are monitoring it and are monitoring it take them to the registrar of voters every single night. I don't trust the location boxes. There could be fraud. And I want to make sure somebody is watching out for Nevadans and for Nevada. And that's why I have John Sarpolis on with me right now. He is the president of the Nevada Policy Research Institute, NPRI.org. And John, thank you so much for joining me. Can you believe how crazy it is for this election?
It is imaginable, and it's scary. Imagine the worst, and it's here.
It is definitely.
But hello, good to hear your voice.
Hi, it's great to have you back on the show. So can Nevadans be confident that we're going to see a legitimate election here in Nevada?
My opinion? No.
Explain why.
Too many shenanigans, too many places wrong. Talking to some poll-watching friends here, watching the count of mail ballots, these are attorneys in Clark County. They are not allowed close enough to really see or witness what's going on. The machine that scans the signatures down here in Clark County, it has a setting on it for accuracy. The recommended setting was 50% accuracy. Clark County's running it at 40% accuracy. When the attorneys complain about this, they say it doesn't say we can't do that. And so then this all just goes off, and there's, you know, constant bickering and fighting. But we're really having a hard time. The poll watchers are really having a hard time doing their job effectively. They're not allowed close enough. The next problem is once the machine accepts the signature, the ballot is separated from the signature. So there's no way later to go back and track something down if there is an issue.
That's what really bothers me that we can't recount our physical ballots, but we can recount the electronic ones.
Right. The ones that were people actually went in and voted. There is a record, and that's important because then you know what happened. And then I'm also originally from Chicago. I'm a cynic. In Chicago, they always find, you know, packages or
boxes, yeah,
bundles of boxes of ballots later somewhere when they suddenly need them. And we've got the way our law reads, there's 3 days after the election for anything that's not even postmarked to be considered having been turned in on time, and then up to 7 days later if it has been postmarked to be still considered to vote. So this gives those that want to push the push the boundaries. I'm trying to say is
push the envelope.
Yeah, push, there you go. Good pun. I like that. I like your dropping acid joke earlier too.
Yeah.
But anyway. So I worry about that. You know, and the other thing that always happened was in Chicago, they'd always find a bag of ballots that were from overseas, from troops, which tended to be GOP, you know, 3-4 months later. Well, it was mm-hmm. way beyond it. So who knows what shenanigans are going on within the post office? Who knows what shenanigans are going on within the Board of Elections when your poll watchers are not even allowed to really, really witness closely? Are we going to have, first of all, a decision on Election Day here in Nevada? Probably not. This is going to drag out for a while. And then can we really believe it? I'm going to be a cynic. It's just, there's too many ways to get away with things here.
Yeah. I mean, and if you go by enthusiasm, to me, there's no way a Democrat could win any office in the state. I mean, Republicans are out and they want to take this state back. But with Clark County down where you are, it seems almost impossible now.
It's very difficult. And, you know, get out the vote. Democrats, the union get out the vote machine is good for their side. They usually lead in the early voting. That's why they wanted early voting. It gives them more time to get people to the polls. The GOP voter is traditional, loves to show up on Election Day, and is all about doing their civic duty. And so they're leading, you know, in the early vote, you know, the early voting, the Democrats are definitely ahead, but that's normal. But then the problem is, okay, if this should close and the GOP pulls ahead, then there's the post-Election Day legalized area to try and get away with something. So we'll mm-hmm. see what happens.
So what about local elections when it comes to turning the tide in the Assembly and the Senate here? Is there any type of chance, just from what you've seen, especially down in Clark County, can we get our voice back and at least be a little bit more balanced?
There's always a chance. Cheating can only be 1-5% maximum. It's difficult to cheat. It takes work to cheat. And so if there's a landslide, if there's an overwhelming majority, then you're fine. But if it's close, to find, you know, 100 votes for a legislative office, which is not unheard of, there's lots of races that are come that close, that's easy for them to figure out and make up. And one of the things you have to think about, too, is they don't want to stick out. They don't want to stand out like a sore thumb that there's suddenly so many more ballots for their side. Mm-hmm. So they've got to be subtle about it. And that's what's good about mail-in voting for them, is they can bring these last-minute things in after they know what the count on election night is. Oh, we only need 10 more votes here. Well, let's go find 15 and get that done.
I always like the numbers that come out afterwards that show how many people voted and how many people are actually registered to vote. And when those numbers don't match up like they should, I just got an email here, John. Is that I'm worried that if Sisolak doesn't open up the state, we will lose just, you know, many of the homeless this winter. Warming shelters can't be open. So many businesses not coming back. Do we need to open back up this state, John?
Absolutely. We've got to trust people. We all get it. We're you know, we understand that we need masks. We understand social distancing. But we all
I'm disagreeing with you on the mask there, John.
Well, but we can do this voluntarily. And
voluntarily, yes.
Yes, and we can trust that. You know, okay, so you're doing hair. Okay, I get that you probably want a mask because you're right there breathing on the person. But if you're in a business where there's more distance, I get that that's not necessary. So voluntarily. But we've got to trust people. I fear the long-term convention industry here for Southern Nevada. If we don't allow some of this to open up and let conferences happen, and we get them used to that they have to be virtual or just go away, they aren't going to change back. So I think the long-term trend here, this governor has truly, truly hurt this economy long-term because he's created patterns that don't change easily. And he needs to open it up now. I mean, it's almost getting to the point of being too late. So please, Governor Sisolak, please trust us. Let it happen. Our hospitalizations are low. We're not overburdening the system. People are going to get this, but the majority are recovering. It's such a minor group. I mean, we understand who's high risk. Let's watch out for them. Let's protect them in all ways possible. But we get that. We, the people, get that. Let us deal with that.
Well, he's got a press conference at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll see once again how he's going to continue to destroy this state, because I'm sure it's not going to be good news. He's going to continue on things. But, John, for people to understand what really is going on in Nevada, I think the best place that they can go is the Nevada Policy Research Institute for all of the different stories that you guys put out on a daily basis. You guys are nonprofit. I mean, it's .org, NPRI.org. How can people help you do what you do?
Well, first of all, as you said, go to NPRI.org, scroll down to the bottom and put your email address in. Get on our email list, and then we'll keep you posted. We've also launched a podcast, which has got great weekly discussions of all the issues going on here in Nevada. We also are offering a monthly webinar now, bringing in some really timely speakers on current issues, both Nevada and federal. So there's ways to keep up. And then, of course, we are a not-for-profit. We live by the donation, and people have been so generous during this pandemic, but we would love to have you join us, and it can be a small amount just on our donate page on our website, npri.org. Or if you'd like to put in some kind of a monthly recurring with a credit card, we love those as well.
Yeah, and I can guarantee John is not out there living the high life, so your money is being well spent. John, thank you so much for joining me today. And you know, besides your podcasts and your webinars, you always have a voice here with me on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Appreciate you, Monica. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate all you and your team do. Hey, we'll be right back after this Fox News update and another special guest. You might recognize the name because she's usually, since she is a senior advisor for the Trump campaign, and she's a powerhouse. She really is, and makes me just proud to be a woman. Mercedes Schlapp will be joining us right after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Get more Monica in your life. Go to 99.1fmtalk.com. Click on the podcast tab.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for being here today. Make sure you check out our poll question today. What news stories do you want to know more about? What do you think is more important out there? Well, a lot of things going on, and I tell you, so far leading the edge is Biden and Bobulinski after that Fox News. Well, it really wasn't even Fox News. It was Tucker Carlson. They allowed him to air that hour-long program because they couldn't deny the facts that Lieutenant Bobulinski was bringing out. So I am so glad that they did that. But, you know, here's a big one, too. This is actually from the Independent, Nevada, the NevadaIndependent.com, which, you know, I am not a huge fan of. But Daniel Rothberg did a really good story called Cutting Back. Across the state, regulators have issued more rights to water than there is water to go around. Water users are closely watching a test case in Diamond Valley to understand the limits of the law and the potential paths forward. This has been an ongoing issue in Nevada. It's an ongoing issue in the cities, in the counties, in the rural areas. We're piping water in from California. They want to pipe northern Nevada water down to Las Vegas. The water's not here. And if you don't have water, you don't have the alfalfa farms. You don't have the ranches. You don't have the cantaloupe fields. You don't have our farmers. What do? You elect the right people. Remember what Governor Sisolak did with the water meters in the rurals? Do you remember what he called for the new the water czar in making sure that they make the decisions? This is not good for the state of Nevada. Not good at all. One of the stories that you should definitely check out. Some of the things that, you know what? I think Mercedes just called me on my cell phone, and that's not the number that she's supposed to be calling. She's supposed to be calling into the studio. So let me lose my train of thought here for just a moment and send a little text off to her that she needs to actually call me on the air. You know, this is the thing. People are busy. She's the national, she's a senior advisor to Trump. Of course, geez. Okay, getting back to my thought there, Governor Sisolak is going to be speaking at 3 o'clock this afternoon. He's going to be talking about COVID. One of the big things that was just released yesterday is the Catholic Charities is not going to be having their warming location this winter because of what? Because of COVID-19. You talk about protecting the most vulnerable. We talk about protecting our seniors with COVID-19. What about protecting the homeless as we go through an absolutely freezing winter? Governor Sisolak should be stepping up and saying, hey, we're going to do all we can. We'll get extra locations. We'll make sure that the homeless are taken care of during this winter. But no, he's more concerned with making sure that there are no large gatherings at Thanksgiving, no large gatherings at Christmas, no large gatherings at all, making sure everybody has their hoax of a mask on, which does absolutely nothing. This governor is destroying our state, and we need some help. And I am hoping we are going to get that help in the form of another 4 years of the greatest president that I've seen in my lifetime. And one of the best spokesmen out there, I got to talk to him last year at CPAC West, and that was Matt Schlapp. And then I got to meet his amazing wife, Mercedes, at the Basque Fry later on. And I'm so honored that now I get to interview her on the air. So joining us right now, senior advisor to the Trump campaign, is Mercedes Schlapp. Mercedes, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you for having me on your show.
I still have the picture of you and I and Matt at the Basque Fry hanging over my desk. So I'm literally looking at you as we talk right now. So,
well, I think I've aged like 100 years since the Basque Fry. This is going so hard on the campaign trail.
Trust me, I've let myself go a little bit. I just dyed my hair last night because it was, even my husband was looking at me like, really? You're just going to let everything go? It's like, oh, what can I say?
I know.
Hey, Mercedes. Being one of a senior advisor for Trump, you know, a lot of things have been said about the Black community and their prosperity and their voting numbers are going up. And I think we're missing a huge portion of our voting base as well, who is turning conservative. And that is the Hispanic vote, which is very large here in Nevada.
Yes, and you know, as a Latino myself, it's something that I've worked on for a very long time in really trying to make inroads into this community. And I think one of the things that I've been most impressed with, not only with the president, but with the campaign, is that they made it a priority to invest in the Latino community, to really court that vote, that we felt that we had a very strong story to tell. To say, look, we stand for economic empowerment. We stand for, you know, you living your American dream, more opportunities, school choice, protecting your faith. and protecting your religious freedoms. And that's the side of President Trump. And what we see with on the left side, on Joe Biden's side, being such a weak candidate, is how he has embraced the socialist movement of his party, where government controls your life, make decisions for you. And so I think we've really done an effective job of courting the voter. And we're seeing in the numbers that we've made significant inroads with the Latino community. And I do think it is because of faith, family, freedom, and country. And that is what President Trump fights for every day.
Well, and I think there's a message there as well, because when you talk to immigrants who have entered this country illegally, I mean, and entered it legally and made a life for themselves, no one is more against illegal immigration than they are. And the left, they want to take down, it figures the left, they want to take down billions of dollars of border wall that has been, you know, put in place. Talk about a waste of money. And really, that does no service to the Latino community, because they don't want illegal immigration.
No, they don't. I think, that's very reflective in the polling. I think that so many of these Latinos obviously came here illegally. They knew what it was to wait in line, get through the process, and then come here, work hard, pay taxes, and raise their families. And I think it really bothers them to see this chaos on the border. And I think one of the other things that really becomes a problem is that at the end of the day, and we always make this argument, which the left refuses to make, is that it's the drug cartels and the human traffickers at the border who are causing the chaos, who profit off the vulnerable families who are trying to come up to reach the border. It's 1 in 3 women are sexually assaulted as they make that dangerous journey. And then what the president's been able to do is he's actually built very strong relationships with the Mexican government, working with what they call the triangle countries of El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, to say, look, let's process people in your country, in these countries, number one. Number two, the Mexican government providing the necessary resources and security at the border to help in dealing with when we had all this illegal immigration activity happening at the border. And you've seen the numbers considerably go down. Now, you can make the argument that COVID played a role in it. You know, that could be part of it, that the economy shut down in certain places. But at the same time, we know that the president's efforts of working on securing the border, building the wall, providing the necessary resources for technology and personnel down at the border has been critical to make sure that we're able to secure the border and reduce illegal immigration.
Well, you know, and it just makes me sick that the mainstream media would rather, you know, focus on lies and hoaxes than the fact that President Trump is working so well with Mexico that just a few months ago, because it didn't make it into the mainstream media, a huge number of drug cartel members were arrested, not only from the Sinaloa cartel, but others. And that is making not only this country a safer and better place, because we need to stop those drugs flowing in, but it makes Mexico and the world a better place, getting rid of these drugs and the dealers.
Yeah, and one of the interesting stories, just because I did a lot of this when I was at the White House, and they were, you know, you would hear the stories of some of these Border Patrol agents basically saying how, you know, they would leave these babies just on the street or on the pathway. And then it would be the Border Patrol agents, no parents, no nothing, to pick up and care for these children and get them into, you know, foster care here in the U.S. and get them into the right, you know, where they will receive the adequate, you know, the care that they need. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, you have a part of that and these other stories of, you know, women that these drug cartels basically would force these women to and men to carry the drugs in through across the border. That was a deal that they made. You know, the families would have to pay about $7,000, which is a lot of money for, you know, a family living in El Salvador or Honduras. And basically from there, they'd track the journey. And from there, then they would be required to bring the drugs into the United States. And then, of course, part of this was the human trafficking component, where you hear these horrific stories of, you know, a mom basically giving her 16-year-old daughter and saying, okay, you're going to get to the United States. This person's going to take care of you. Well, at the end of the day, the girl ended up in the hands of someone who raped her. The girl luckily was able to get to the hospital. But it is a circular cycle of what you're talking about when it comes to human trafficking and exploiting these children. And that is exactly the type of activity that the president has focused and the Department of Justice have focused on in breaking up these human trafficking rings and ensuring that we're able to protect these children.
Well, and that's what was so disturbing about the last debate and being hammered about the cages and these kids, you know, not being reunited with their parents. And, you know, for a lot of these kids, their parents don't want them. Their parents have put them into this. There's a reason why we still have children that have not been reunited with their parents, and we are actually protecting them.
Yeah, there's well, we saw a lot of these cases where the person who would I quote unquote identify as the parent wasn't the parent. So
exactly.
That became a big issue. And the other issue that we had is obviously that the immigration laws are so broken, you know, with the Flores Agreement that then would release the child after 21 days, but then the parent had committed a crime. And so it's just complete. You know, we know that the president ended catch and release. That was another big issue. And then we also know that when these families are released into the U.S. and they have their court date, they're not showing up. So then you lose track of the illegal immigrants who are in our country. And so it what happens is that it just escalates the problem of the fact that illegal immigration has been very tough because Congress and the Democrats have refused to work with this president to really pass significant immigration reform and to update our laws. They refuse to do it because their mentality is one of open borders.
Yeah.
That's the goal of what we're seeing with the Democrats. They've made it very clear that it's going to be amnesty. It's going to be free health care for illegals. And you know, the list goes on and on. It's why one of the sticking points on the economic stimulus is providing, you know, checks to illegal immigrants. And so yeah. This is what becomes very problematic because it's the Democrats' philosophy to push an open border agenda. And what
well, that's
now
Gavin
situation.
That's
yeah.
Gavin Newsom's California and
yeah.
just
and you,
killing the state.
Can I just add one quick thing? My assistant yesterday, we were down in Miami for an event, gets a call. Her sister has literally almost taken her 16-year-old sister in a white van with two men. And, you know, she was telling me how the gang activity is so bad. Luckily, her sister was able to escape. But this is the growing problems of the gang activity of MS-13, where they create violence. Not only, you know, and you know, the communities that the gang members and MS-13, where they go and where they try to be destructive is in the Latino community.
Yeah.
So
Latino We have MS-13 here in Reno, you know, for the drug run because of I-80. So, Mercedes, I know you're on the Women for Trump tour, on the bus tour, and you've got a lot of things you need to get going and doing. So I thank you so much for joining me today and helping me set the record straight that the mainstream media is not actually giving the truth to the people. And thank you so much. Have you voted yet?
Not yet. I was talking to Matt. He's got to vote because he's got to get on a bus here by, I think he's leaving Thursday through Monday. So I was like, you got to go vote, Schlapp. But yeah, I want to vote early. I'm very, that's what I encourage everyone to do is vote early because the lines are going to be so, so long on election day. And so we're really trying to get out that message. But
well,
I think what a great discussion. I really appreciate you wanting to talk about, you know, the policy that matters, which is, we don't get a lot of that. So that's very helpful.
Thank you, Mercedes Schlapp. I voted last night, so you get to do it now. Vote early. Mercedes Schlapp, senior advisor for the Trump campaign and former, actually, White House director of strategic communications as well. So she knows her stuff. We're going to be right back after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk Radio 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Yes, indeed. It's the Monica Jay Show. I'm so glad I got to spend some time with you today, 10 to noon every weekday. If you missed any part of the show, Eric Trump, Diane Nicolette running for the Washoe County School District Board of Trustees, John Sarpolis, NPRI, or Mercedes Schlapp, you can find it all on our podcast at 991fmtalk.com. While you're there, answer today's poll question. What do you want to hear more about in the news? What story do you find viable right now? Let me tell you, it's not Dr. Fauci and it's not COVID-19. People are done with it. They know it's just the flu. And look at this, a new story coming out. Flu diagnoses are way down this year. I wonder why. I'll let you sit on that. All right. Another special guest tomorrow. I have been trying to get this guy on the air for 6 months now, and he's finally agreed to join me, and I couldn't be more excited. I've mentioned his name before, but from the awesome show Bar Rescue, John Taffer is my guest tomorrow. I'm so excited. I'm excited for all my guests, local and national. We've got this covered here. Everything that you want to talk about, it's live and local FM Talk right here on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Have a great day and vote. Mwah. Love you.